I'm Amy, sex educator, sex and relationship coach, and co-owner of PurePleasureShop.com.
I'm April, VP of the cutting-edge sex toy company Hot Octopus, and I dedicate my life to the business of sex.
We are on a mission to teach you how to have hot sex, deep intimacy, and how to make your own rules for who you are as a sexual being.
Welcome to the Shameless Sex Revolution. Want to learn more? Go to shamelesssex.com.
And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use code SHAMELESSSEX at purepleasureshop.com.
You are listening to a pleasure podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Well, hello, everyone.
Hey, everybody.
Welcome to the Shameless Sex Podcast with your favorite humans in the whole planet, April and Amy. But guess which one I am?
You are Perry.
No, he's here being on his best behavior. That's my dog.
Yes, he is.
I can't tell you all how hard
it
is
to
record.
You didn't even tell everybody.
Sorry, I'm Amy. how hard it is to record with two small dogs, especially my dog. And if you listen regularly, you're like, we've heard enough about your fucking dogs. But it is a scene over here to try to get this shit done, let me tell you. Oh, my
Could
God.
Could you imagine if we had small children?
Thank God for my mom tomorrow, who is taking Perry for the day while we record two episodes.
I do want to give a shout out to my animal, who's an absolute
the best
legend, and his name is Legend, Legendary Lampert.
Perry, why can't you be more like your brother?
Yeah, that's right.
Sorry,
he's so quiet and beautiful animal.
And when I said that, see, that was shaming. See,
I told you about his sand turd that he took last night. We went to the beach yesterday for a long time. It was beautiful in Santa Cruz. It's November 21st. Yesterday, we're recording this on the 22nd of November, 2021. And we went to the beach yesterday because it was so warm.
I wasn't there.
I know you weren't there, but Legend was there.
Yeah.
And so I didn't realize maybe he was eating sand. And so last night he woke me up at, I don't know the hour because I didn't check. And he was scratching to get outside like it was an emergency situation. And I was like, what's going on? I've never seen him like that. And then this morning I looked and he took a huge sand turd. Like it was like it disintegrated like sand.
Was he looking for sand crabs?
I don't know what he was doing, but it was disturbing to say the least. I hope it cleans out his intestines.
Ooh, yeah, maybe.
I hope so.
Like, you know, it's all like grinding along the sides.
Yeah,
making
it's like
it all look
sandpaper.
Smooth. Yeah. All right. So all the listeners that we just lost, sorry.
You think we lost them?
No.
I think it's interesting.
I think it's very interesting.
Have you ever eaten sand and taken a sand turd?
I don't think so. I mean, probably an accident, but have you...
Really?
Have you ever eaten cat food?
No.
What?
You have?
You've never tried cat food?
Have you ever tried your dog's food?
Yeah, to make sure it was
good.
Oh
my God, I never have done any of those things.
What?
Disturbing to me.
You didn't try the brand that we're not sponsored by, so I won't name, that you told me to give my dog, and I wanted to make sure that it actually tasted
No, I've never done... Did you eat kitty litter ever?
No.
All right, let's get back to the show here.
No, that's gross.
I'm not going to grill you about this after we're done recording because now I'm very interested.
We'll talk about this later.
This is intriguing.
Yeah, so anyways, I was an only child, so sometimes you ate cat food. Curious. You killed bugs. You ate cat food. It's what you did. So this episode is not about bugs.
Wait, did you have cats?
Yes.
Okay, good. Yes. Okay, that makes me feel better.
What do you think? It was like five on Amazon or something. There was no, I was at my neighbor's house. There was no Amazon then.
You were like, do you have any cat food? I'm hungry.
I really want to try that shit.
Well, was
crunchy.
It like the meow, 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 meow?
Well, my mom's listening as we speak.
So she'll message me and let me know
Mom,
what kind of cat food it
what
was.
What kind of cat food? It's probably like Costco brand or something.
Oh my God. We have to move this conversation now to threesomes.
So yeah, this is actually going to be a really interesting episode. It's not going to be about kitty litter, just so you know. It's going to be.
There is someone named Cat though.
Oh, that's. Oh my God. I didn't even put that together.
I was hoping for a drop at some point with that one.
Glad you figured that
one out. Pun intended.
So threesomes, swinger resorts, and sexy house parties with the two hot wives. That's the number two podcast, Ams and Cat. And if you're not into these things, let's just say it's pretty entertaining. So you might as well take a sneak peek and stay with us in our kitty litter.
I learned a lot about sexy house parties on this show. Threesomes. interesting. Also, they have just a great amount of information to share about adjusting to jealousy when you want to open a relationship and being swingers and
married
the alternative lifestyle.
The lifestyle
community, as I believe it's called.
Oh, yeah. I'm doing
married with children.
Well, they're married with children.
Love and marriage. Love and marriage.
I knew that was coming.
Go together like a horse and carriage.
All right. Anyways, so stay tuned because it's going to get real interesting if it's already not interesting to you. Are you ready for a sex question, though, Chip?
I'm pumped for this sex question.
All right. So I gave her a little sneak peek. So she actually kind of knows what we're talking about, but she has no idea what we're going to say. So
it's a load of fun.
Oh, my God. Okay. So 25-year-old penis-owning male here. I'm sort of insecure about my load size. My girlfriend made a comment about it, and it's kind of stuck with me. Is there anything I can do to increase it? Maybe jacking off less than my average of 2 times a day, perhaps? Also, my testicles are on the smaller side, and they don't really hang much. Could this be a factor? Do women mind ball size? That's a lot of questions.
Well, I would say, can I address one of the questions? Your testicles are smaller and they don't hang much. Just give it 20 years, honey.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that.
Don't worry
about that. They will hang just fine.
They will find their
Gravity
way down.
Gravity is a hell of a bitch.
Yeah. Everything finds its way just down. Kind of downwards. The answer to this, so I'm going to speak from a personal place of the preference, I'd say. I really don't give a fuck about load size. Do you? How do you feel about it?
Load size, ball size mean nothing to me.
Not at all. So you have tiny balls and tiny load size. You'd be like, cool.
Actually, like tiny balls would be cool because they're easier to fit into my tiny mouth.
That's true. Anyways, that makes perfect sense. And so, okay, fun fact. When I was 18, 36 now, I had a girlfriend, a lady friend, who was obsessed with big balls, though.
A friend that was a...
A vulva-owning individual who was like, oh my God, I'm dating this guy and he has the biggest balls and I love them. Now, that was her. For me, big balls, I'm like, big balls are great. Small balls, they're great. Saggy balls, they're great. Not so saggy balls, they're great. Yeah, I actually personally don't really care about the balls and
or
what
the
they're doing that
load
much.
Size, is that important to you?
No. And in fact, like the more load, the not better. The more challenging to deal with. It depends on what we're doing, of course. And like, so I'm not, but as I say that, so I also have a friend who loves the money shot. They love cum all over their face, all over their chest. They love the visual of seeing all of the ejaculate on their bodies. I don't get off to that. I'm not really attracted to that. So if there's just a little bit of like drop, 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 fine. If there's a lot, my friend really gonna like you. So speaking to this person, your girlfriend made a comment. I'm wondering what the comment was. It stuck with you. Oh, but was it, you don't really cum a lot, or when you do, it's small. Are they saying that they want more? Did they directly say that? Is there ways that you can do to increase this? I actually don't have the answer to that question.
I wonder if there's a correlation between diet and, I don't know about age, but diet, because I feel like diet is something to do with your load size.
Hydration.
So I think there is a correlation. And I don't have the science in front of me because I didn't do any research on this question. However, you're 25, you fucking know how to use Google. So yeah. I would recommend probably Googling load size and in correlation to your diet and hydration.
So do you remember that someone asked us this together? And we won't say the name, but
when
together
we
were out somewhere and someone asked us this and we said, we don't have the answer to this. Go ask Dr. Willow Brown.
Because, someone did ask us that.
Yes,
was
I'll
not
tell you later
ago.
Who it was.
Oh my God.
And Dr. Willow Brown has been on our podcast many times. She's a Taoist sexologist who works with people with their hormones, their body fluids, the way their body reacts to sexuality, etc.
She was the one that gave me a massage and did something weird to my ear and I started salivating in my mouth.
See, so she could probably increase the load size.
And weird, I mean, it was felt really nice.
Oh yeah, she's healed my pussy a couple times.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I was like, that's an important piece. So
we're not going to go and try to Google this and actually give you the information. Like all I have is hydration. At least I can speak for pussy fluid. Has so much to do with it. When I'm dehydrated, I don't have as much pussy fluid. When I'm hydrated, I have more. And I would imagine the same also goes for load size. But if you really want to dive into this, maybe go check out some of the episodes with Dr. Willa Brown, send her some messages, maybe work with her. And the jacking off part, yeah, I'm pretty sure that the more you jack off, one, the more erectile and ejaculatory control you might have in that day. Also, you're using those fluids. So the next time you use those fluids when you're having sex with your partner, you're going to have less fluids. That just is kind of a natural part of the process.
We also, when we recorded with Fabienne, Anique, she was talking about semen
retention.
Which, no, I was like going to say rejection. No, semen retention.
And that episode's not out yet, just so you know. Oh. In the next month, everyone, it will be out.
But we recorded it just, yes, yeah. Okay. So it'll be releasing soon. And just like your ejaculate, there is something to say about retention, semen retention. And I also am not an expert on this topic at all. I only have participated in interviewing folks that are. And this is the thing, there is something to say about the retention that she spoke to when the episode releases that can be beneficial for someone to maybe save up their chi
yeah.
or their energetic release for perhaps. And that's trial and error, though. Everybody's different, so we can't speak to something perfectly, like a perfect system, or there's not a methodology that we can say, turn this switch and then you're going to be great.
It doesn't work that way. And what she says also is that it just increases your energy and your stamina, but I would imagine also increases your load because you're preserving it and then more and more load. You hear the term blue balls and they're like, I need to do something with this, you know? So it's my Schmeagle voice kind of, I need to do something with this load.
It'd be interesting if this listener that asked the question, if he attempted or...
No, yes,
he attempted to trial and error some of these different techniques or these different tools that are out there.
Try not masturbating or ejaculating for 4 days and see what your load looks like.
Hydrate, drink some electrolytes,
yeah.
a lot of fluids,
yeah.
And then save your load and then go on with your partner and see if that load is big. Maybe use a little test tube and collect it and see how big it gets.
There you go.
You can fill up the Uber Loop sample things.
Semen collection.
The Uber Loop sample vials.
Yeah. Oh my God, Uber Loop's not happy you said that at all.
How many vials of Uber Loop could
and
you do?
And lastly, what I'll say, in April, we both said this multiple times, we can't tell you, do women mind ball size? Do women want a big load? Everyone is so different. But what we can tell you is, here's some tips, here's some ways you can explore this, and everyone is really different. And if this is important to you, you want a big load size, then perhaps you can learn how to increase that. Your partner wants a big load size, okay, perhaps you can learn to work with that, and everyone is different. So thank you for asking these questions. It's actually been really fun, and maybe after this, we shall go call Willa Brown and see.
We'll text her yeah. and ask her, because she moved to Hawaii now, so she's 4 hours behind us.
Oh, but she will talk to us, because she's got all the answers.
Sure will.
All right, so anyways, before we dive into the bio about AMs and cat, not cat litter, but cat, let's talk about one of our beloved sponsors, OMGS.com. So OMGS.com, they've been with us, what, 4 years
since
now?
Almost the very beginning. More, I think, 4 years.
And I've known about OMGS even before they worked with Shameless Sex, because as a sex and relationship coach, I've seen OMGS change my clients' lives. OMGS.com is an online resource for you to learn about how to pleasure the pussy. Soon there will be season, meaning, who knows, a year or two on penises as well. But right now, season one is all about external stimulation for the pussy, for the vulva. Season two is all about internal stimulation. Oh, isn't season three coming out?
Season three is coming out tentatively, and hopefully, remember, this is a research-based it's not even a program, it's a research-based company that is very in tune with education, and they predict December. It could be a little bit later.
Of 2021.
So
they studied with 20,000
people between the ages of 18 to 95, and they're all real humans.
Real humans. So figure out how do they pleasure themselves? How do they have the orgasms that they have? And it's not a subscription. You just buy a season, you buy two seasons, buy one season, whatever.
One time payment,
and then you get to learn all these different techniques. It's not porn, although I'm sure you get off to it, but it's educational and it might change your life. Go check out OMGS.com/shameless. You get 10% off, and it is very, very informative.
Also, I want to recommend it would be a good gift for the holidays, because
yeah.
it's something that you can use anytime. You can access it, buy once, give it to someone, and they can use it anytime.
If I was a single person and I had like five lovers, I would give it to all of them.
Are you ready for a bio?
Yeah.
We're on fire today, by the way. I want to say that.
Woo, 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 woo.
And Ams and Kat, who I'm going to read their bio, they're also on fire. So Let's do this. Ams and Kat, hosts of the Two Hot Wives podcast, that's number two Hot Wives podcast, are on a mission to create a community where like-minded women can explore their sexual interests and embrace great sex as the ultimate in self-care. Both are deeply committed wives and mothers exploring sex on their terms. Now they have a podcast together and talk about open marriages, kink and BDSM, meeting couples to play with, seeing their partners with someone else, and the joy that phenomenal sex brings to their lives. To learn more, visit twohotwives.com. Remember, that's the number two, hotwives.com. But first...
This holiday season, one of our beloved sponsors, Everlywell, can help you give big. By gifting an Everlywell at-home lab test, you're giving your loved ones more comfort, clarity, self-discovery, and joy and well-being. Everlywell offers affordable at-home physician-reviewed lab tests that give you trusted results. Choose from tests including food sensitivity, sleep and stress, thyroid, STDs, and so much more.
I personally love the ease Everlywell offers when it comes to discovering and understanding how to take care of my body. I took the metabolism test, and now I know so much more about my hormone levels and how to maintain a metabolism rate for ultimate energy. They make it easy by shipping your test straight to your door with everything needed for a simple sample collection. All you do is return the test with the prepaid shipping label, and your results and insights are sent to your device in just days. So what are you waiting for? This holiday, give more of what matters with an Everlywell at-home lab test. And for our listeners, Everlywell is offering a special discount of 20% off an at-home lab test at everlywell.com/shameless. That's everlywell.com/shameless for 20% off your at-home lab test. everlywell.com/shameless. All right, let's dive into that interview.
All right, everyone, it is episode time, and we are here with Ams and Kat of the Two Hot Wives podcast. So we guested on their podcast, I don't know, a couple months ago, 6 months ago, something like that.
May.
Okay, so what month are we in now? October?
I have no idea.
Okay, so anyway, a while ago, and it was super fun. We were talking about anal on their podcast. So if you want to go listen to us on their podcast, or just listen to their podcast, there'll be plenty of opportunities here for you to learn about how to do that. You already heard a little bit in the bio. But this one, now they're on our show, and we're here to talk to them about threesomes, swinger resorts, and sexy house parties. So these are two married women who are experiencing all these wonderful things. And so I'm going to start with the same prompt that we always do with all of our speakers. How the F, I don't usually say that, but how the fuck, I'm just kidding, did you get to where you are today in the world of sexuality, both in your personal lives and then also starting a podcast?
That is so much in one tiny little question. All right, let's break that down. This is Ams. I'm a longtime married couple. And about 3 years ago, my husband and I basically decided we needed to not take each other for granted. We wanted to have more fun in our marriage. So we went to a bar and got really, really drunk and just sort of brainstormed all the ways that we could have more fun. At kink, BDSM, that kind of came into the conversation. So we checked out dungeons and we got like lots of toys off of Amazon. Jeff Bezos was like, what the fuck is going on over there? it was at a dungeon that we learned the term lifestyle, like lifestyle dating and the lifestyle community. We had no idea what that meant. We came home, we Googled it and found some events that were happening near where we lived and sort of jumped in like straight into the deep end, met couples, started dating couples, and it completely changed our lives. We had better communication, a better sex life between the two of us. It made our marriage just phenomenal. And it was through lifestyle dating that we met Kat and Mr. Kat and became very, very close friends. There was that immediate connection. Through the relationship we had between the four of us, we started talking about the fact that there weren't a lot of podcasts out there where two women who are married are talking about the challenges that they have with sex and the adventures and journeys and experiences that they have with sex. So we wanted to give it back to the community. We learned so much from podcasts like yours. We wanted to put out the information that we had and entertain people and tell them all the crazy, sexy stories that we have. How about you?
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, what's up? Yeah. Ditto. Mic drop. Yeah. Same exact experience.
No. So I'm Kat. Mr. Kat and I started talking about this kind of thing about 4 or 5 years ago. We were happily married for about 20 years, two kids, and we just wanted to find ways to have more fun. He was going to be traveling, and so we were going to be apart quite a bit. And to kind of make things fun, when he would come home, he would send me a lot of erotica. So he was sending me stories, and it was a lot of fun, and I'd send back stories. He sent most of the stories, but the stories got more and more exciting and more sexy, and just, you know, started to dive into the whole lifestyle topics. And so when he would come home, everything was all exciting, and we were so excited to see each other, and sex was really exciting and hot, and we would talk all about these stories. And finally it just sort of evolved to, hey, is this something that you're really interested in? Is this something you want to explore? And so we started listening to some podcasts, and it got very interesting, and neither one of us felt threatened by the idea. And so we talked about it for a very, very long time. Mm. And finally we just decided to just go for it. So we put our profile up on a couple of couples dating sites. And we actually went on some very fun clothing optional vacations, which was really crazy and really fun. And then when we met Ams and Mr. Ams, they were going on that vacation. So it really sparked some fun conversation. Mm-hmm. And we just started hanging out a lot. A lot. Yeah. And then COVID hit and we were hanging out a lot, yeah. Just the four of us really, and our families and stuff. And we just became super close and started talking and about, you know, how could we share this and share this friendship that we've made. And that's it. Mm-hmm. Rest is history.
That's a good story. And I commend you for being, number one, vulnerable and sharing your stories as folks that have kids. Right. People, a lot of times they can be curious about things or want these to explore these types of lifestyle, living the lifestyle life, if you will. Right.
Yeah.
And it can be also feeling shameful. Is my community, my standard community that I live in, are they going to accept me? And so I just want to commend both of you and your partners, for just being vulnerable and sharing your story and normalizing the curiosity and the lifestyle. So thank you for that. And there will be a question in there. I just wanted to give you a shout out because I value it. And it brings me to this conversation around, obviously threesomes are hot. Like, people are always into threesomes, and monogamy as a whole, like you both, I think, Kat, you said 20 years you've been married, and Ams, how long have you been married?
17.
17. This, so this, yeah, is a long time. So you've built this strong foundation with your partners. So let's talk about ethical non-monogamy, because that technically is what you're living in, right?
Yeah.
And
yes.
How that's impacted your relationship. Some of the hardships mixed with the good ships, if that's good.
Ooh,
ships.
Ooh, I like thing, that term. Good ships.
The good ships.
Yeah.
So for us, it has been predominantly hugely positive in our life. You're talking about like Shirley Temple, a good ship lollipop, but like this idea that the world is all of a sudden in Technicolor. You know, we had a great marriage, we had good, respectful, loving sex, but we just didn't even know how great sex could be, because really the majority of our experiences were with one person. So when we started to open up our marriage, play with new partners, meet new people, just have open conversations about sex with other people, we could take all of that knowledge home. And like a random Wednesday night was all of a sudden mind-blowing. And, you know, I keep thinking that the sex just can't get any better, or I will die. I will just drop dead one day. But it just keeps building out and getting better. Yeah. In terms of the, you want to talk about the bad stuff? Is there any bad stuff?
I don't know. Thanks for that.
Yeah, you get the bad stuff. She's like, damn it.
You know, there's, I would say, we haven't really experienced a lot of bad stuff. I mean, we've been married for 20 years. We're really pretty close. And if there's anything that's happening that's not, you know, exactly what we want, we just talk about it. We don't, I tend to be pretty open with Mr. Cat. You know, if I don't like something, I say, you know, I wait. I wait until later, you know, when things aren't happening in the moment.
Yeah.
And I just say, you know, I wanted to talk about, you know, what happened the other night that really, you know, I wasn't really very comfortable with this or with that. And it's no big deal. I think, you know, sometimes we think these things have to be traumatizing or the end all be all awful thing that happens and we have to make a huge deal out of it. Sometimes if we just use our motherfucking words and just, you know, be reasonable, be open about it and not put intentions on the other person, right? It's never his intention to hurt me or to upset me.
What about jealousy? Because that's always something I struggle with.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Or like that fear of like, what if you find someone better than me?
What if he's fucking this woman right in front of me and then he's going to leave me for her? This is like my fear shit, right? I'm projecting.
Well, I think about a lot of people resonate with that. There's this fear of like, okay, but what if you have a hot, amazing sex with someone? There's deep connection, deep alignment. Granted, y'all are married. I think we both said you have kids. And so you have a lot of things that are locked in where it's just not, the back door is not that easy to go through.
No pun intended.
Or, well, maybe it is after.
Check out the anal episode.
Or check out the anal episode and a lot of Uber loop. But so I guess, like April said, like, well, how do you guys navigate that?
Yeah, that's probably the number one question
that we get all the time.
Is how do you tackle jealousy?
Well, and I think sometimes people just have that in them. They have a tendency to be jealous.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it just takes a lot of conversations. It's, I think of it this way, like, we've been together for 20 years. We have a lot of history. We know each other real well, really well, to where we can have a conversation about anything. Is he really going to start that over again with someone else?
A lot of work.
No way. Yeah. No way. And, you know, I think, you know, Mr. Ams is probably the same way. Lots of reassurance, lots of check-ins with each other, lots of conversations before and after about how fun that was and just sensitivity to what the other person is feeling sort of clues you into what kinds of things, you know, you need to be aware of. If there's a point at which I felt Mr. Cat was feeling, I don't know, insecure or jealous, I would definitely take a step back and check in with him and make sure that, you know, I cut that off right away so that I don't want him to feel that.
Yeah. So, I mean, one thing to bear in mind is ethical non-monogamy is not for everybody. You know, we're living our truth. This is like authentic and true to us and to our marriage, but it's not something I would recommend for everybody. If you don't have a solid foundation in your relationship, you don't need to be married. But if you're, you know, in a committed relationship that's really solid, this might be something that you want to experience.
Well, and if there's already jealousy that comes up quite often, this is not going to be for you.
Right.
That's the flag waving red. You're like,
And that's why I say, like, for some relationships, that's just a part of the relationship. So it's probably not a good sign that you should join the lifestyle.
Yeah. But on the flip side, it's okay to get a little uncomfortable. That's where we grow. Right. And we live in this society that is like scared to death of being uncomfortable at all. But having some, you know, feelings of discomfort, I would say FOMO happens more than jealousy. Like if Mr. Ams is having an experience by himself and I'm at home, like washing the dishes and dealing with the kids, sometimes I feel, you know, like sad little Cinderella. Why am I scrubbing out the pots and pans? But I can sit with those feelings and acknowledge them and say, okay, that's a normal feeling to have, but it's not it's not going to ruin my relationship, and I can let him know. And we just plan better the next time so that that doesn't come up.
And it's also with jealousy too. So there's a couple, because you can look at it in so many ways. Like jealousy could be, you know, a lot of people like negative thing. Jealousy, it's a bad thing to feel, and it's a bad thing to put on someone else. And you know, but like it's so normal, first of all. But also, I heard people kind of do a spin on it and call it possessive. And I'm doing like a sexy thing when I talk about it. Like I'm, you know, like some people like the feeling of being possessed and, but still like can do some hot wifing shit or whatever, where like I'm yours and you possess me. I'm possessed. You're the one that gets to fuck me or take me home at the end of the night or gets to spend most of the time with me. And I'm also going and having these hot experiences is something that could be a turn on. So I think we can also reframe, yeah, talking about jealousy and managing it within ourselves because it's just another experience or emotion. But also we can reframe it in a way. It reminds me of Kristen, our friend Kristen, who just has this wonderful, not just with Jimmy, I don't even think she talked about jealousy, but she reframes everything and how can we make it erotic?
She's been on our show. Yeah. Right.
I love that idea. Mm-hmm. Like add it into your dirty talk.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Totally.
Reclamation sex can be awesome. Phenomenal. And if you're having those feelings of jealousy, like throwing your man on the bed and saying, you're mine, and like taking him can be a really hot erotic experience.
Yeah. Like I know someone else just got to touch your body, but I'm going to show you. I talked about this on our podcast, maybe, but I went on a business trip and my partner was like, let's play with some really light hot wifing, and we're not married, hot wifing, hot dating, whatever you want to call it, experiences while you're gone. And I was like, okay, well, we don't really know what this is going to look like. And I went on a completely ethical date with someone that I actually had a history with that I'd never had penetrative sex with them. Anyways, I had hooked up with them before multiple times, and they happened to be in the same town that I was on this business trip with. And so my partner knew about it, and we were playing with it and playing with like the hotness of it, and like, you know, sent him a photo of us together and all of that. And we didn't hook up, you know, we still went out and it was just very flirtatious, and we like, you know, we're holding hands and we had a lot, you know, really long hug and a little kiss on the cheek as we left. And we even asked the server who was waiting on us for, you know, 2 or 3 hours when we were out. We're like, I wonder what she thinks about what's going on here right now. Because we clearly look like we know we're on a date. I was like, does she think it's like a Tinder date?
You're like,
or
your tip is not going to depend on this.
I was like, I'm going to ask her. So I was like, I'm going to ask her what she thinks about this.
What if she said brother, sister? I would have been like, yeah.
What? Yeah. So I was like, okay, I'm going to ask her. I was like, just so you know, he's paying. He's got a lot of money. No, just kidding. Well, actually, that's actually pretty true. But anyways, you just won't hurt your tip. What do you think our relationship is here? And she's like, honestly, I think you've known each other for 10 years. You're good friends. You've hooked up before and you're kind of reconnecting, either starting to date again or reconnect. We've actually known each other for 12 years. We have hooked up multiple times. We're not dating again, and we are not, you know, like going down that route, but like she was actually kind of spot on. I was like, triple her tip.
You're like, do you want to do that?
but then, so here's the thing. Super filled up, super charged with my partner, feeling the hotness around it, even though it was just very, very light, this more like flirtation and conversation about it. And I went home and we were just like, actually, unfortunately, I went home, we were super turned on, and then like some heavy information dropped, and then I ruined everything. But it's like a really mild version of I know what you guys are speaking to, and I understand. And so I'm hearing that it can supercharge your relationship. You all chose it together, you know, mutually with your partners, and then you all became friends there. So, okay, this brings me to this whole sexy vacation. So you met right before a sexy vacation. I want to know what the fuck that sexy vacation is. I have an idea because we're talking about swinger resorts. And then what's so special about this particular vacation?
Well, so the location is Desire in Cancun. It's one of maybe 3 or 4 resorts that kind of clothing optional, adults only, that has a reputation for being lifestyle friendly, a place that let people play in semi-public spaces. They have theme parties. They have play spaces.
They really cater to it.
Yeah.
They do a lot of work to make us all feel welcome.
Yes.
That's awesome.
So the first time that we met, the couple's date that we went on, was because Mr. Ams and I were about to go to Desire, and Kat and Mr. Kat had been there a couple of times. Mm-hmm. So they had all the details on it. And little did I know that you would need to bring 3 checked bags to a clothing optional resort because there's many costume changes.
That's
that
right.
Happen.
One just for shoes.
Yes, that's right. Really big, shiny boots. Yes. Yeah. So, you know, swinger resorts or lifestyle friendly resorts are a really great way for couples who are interested in learning about the lifestyle and ethical non-monogamy to sort of see it in the wild and meet other couples and talk with other couples. We've met many, many people who going to a lifestyle resort is the first time that they ever experienced ethical non-monogamy. And it's also, for some people, the only time that they experience ethical non-monogamy. At home, within the boundaries of their city, their home, they are monogamous, but they like to go on vacation once or twice a year and play around with ethical non-monogamy.
And they feel safe doing that really far from their homes. Mm-hmm. Because for most of us, we're not out and about telling everybody what we're doing.
Walking around with an upside down pineapple in our shopping cart. Right.
We do have desire necklaces.
God. Is that a thing?
What is with the pineapples? Can you, it's an upside down pineapple?
That means it's got to be upside down. Yeah.
Wait, explain this because I need to know more. Please.
I think it's more of a joke than anything else. So if you see a lady with an upside down pineapple, I would just think maybe she did that.
Don't kiss her. Yeah, it's an accident. It's not,
not really a
consent.
I do that at the grocery store, though. I didn't know I was putting
an actual pineapple. I thought you wear it on your clothes. No, an actual pineapple?
Like at the grocery store?
Well, so like
it's become so big anyway in regular like hospitality.
Right. You can see it all over the place. But yeah, I think that the pineapple has kind of become the unofficial symbol of swingers, of lifestyle couples. There are there was a conversation on our Discord community about like what are swinger symbols and do any of them still work? Like anklets or garden gnomes or white rocks.
Garden gnomes? Grandma's a swinger.
Yeah, grandma.
I think my housemate's a swinger.
Totally. If you think they are, like your radar for it gets pretty good after a while. But if you want to meet other lifestyle people, I would go to one of the lifestyle dating sites.
You can kind of tell who in your neighborhood have become swingers. They start,
now that you're in it?
They start dressing better. They start going to the gym. They start like taking care of themselves. All of a sudden, the men are like wearing better shoes.
Grooming. Just, oh, a lot of grooming
just look
happens.
Good. Yeah. Because they all of a sudden, they're dating. They care, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when you're just like with your spouse every day, you maybe sometimes think about not wearing such sexy underwear.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't, you got your holy sweats on. I mean, not me. But, you know, not anymore because now I got competition, right? But, like, I have to compete for my husband all the time. Not really. I'm exaggerating. But, you know, I want to look my best. I want, when I walk somewhere, when I go somewhere with him, I want him to still think that I'm the hottest one for him. Mm-hmm. Right? So.
And he's doing it for you, obviously. He's got the nice shoes now. He's working out.
So. This is a great point because people get complacent in relationships and sex. We are biologically not monogamous creatures. We are not, right? It's proven.
Right.
And you can try to tell yourself that you are, but likely unless you live in a cave with your partner, you're going to be attracted to something or someone that you see.
It doesn't mean you're actually going to do something.
Does
you have to make a conscious choice.
So
yeah, we have desire for other. That's like a natural thing. Yeah.
But I like this, the drive. It's almost like this, the competition, because I fucking love a good competition. Yeah. And I'm like, hey, you have no idea. I'll be the best, the fun. And I want to speak about this because house parties, like, right? We just talked about the resorts, which wait, what happened at the resort? Did you all hook up?
Yeah, are you all banging
each other?
So they
were going.
That trip we went on our own, but we had just came back from Desire 2 months ago and had the most phenomenal orgy we've ever had.
It was so much fun.
It was like magical.
I'll speak right now. Is that good?
I know. It was so good.
So when they were going on this vacation, like we gave them all the information, but as soon as they got back, we all got together and that's pretty much, you know,
upside down
the beginning of us.
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
And then we've gone on that vacation with each other now.
Yeah.
So that was what we just got back from.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ooh, no wonder y'all sparkly right now.
So some folks may not be able to access or afford some of these like very elaborate, beautiful resorts, which they are really gorgeous and really nice places because we were invited to
Hedonism
in Jamaica. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And we didn't go, but not all that expensive.
Like not any more expensive than a regular all-inclusive.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right.
Like $300 per person per day.
Yeah, it depends. I mean,
for food and drinks and
it's
entertainment,
more sex.
And,
yeah, it's more right. affordable than
and,
you would
and
think.
Dick.
It is. That's what I thought too. Of course, I'm not saying it's cheap, but it's not any more expensive than any
regular
other kind of all-inclusive resort.
Yeah. Okay,
that's all.
So I only was bringing that up because I want to talk about the house parties because those be more accessible to people. So let's talk about what these sexy house parties are. We've all heard, I mean, at least me, maybe it's an urban legend, but about the key parties.
Yeah.
I don't know if those still happen or if I just dated myself.
Not
but
anymore.
Either way. So what are so what are those like? And can you share some about that, please?
So I've never been to a key party.
No.
No. And we've been to lots of parties, but there's never any bowl going around for your keys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn
it. Sorry. I think one of the biggest myths about swingers, about lifestyle people, is that they will fuck everybody and anybody, that they're totally indiscriminate. And I can tell you, we're picky.
Yeah.
We're very picky. And most lifestyle women that I know are very picky. And the men, too. They're not totally indiscriminate. So we've been to a lot of house parties, and I would say that my experience with house parties has not been super positive until we started hosting our own.
And I'm the same. I mean, the house parties that we've gone to seem to be, very structured. Okay, 10 o'clock, someone comes out and everybody get naked or go.
All the women get
naked. Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, for the male gaze. Yeah,
right,
the whole thing.
Right.
Oh,
it'll be
hell
like,
no.
No,
yeah.
No.
Women get
you
into
first.
Something more. That is literally the conversation that we've had at some of these parties. Like, show me your dick before I show you my bra. There is no way that I'm getting naked in front of a bunch of guys that are still like in their polo and slacks. It's not going to happen. So we've been, some are great. But I think the smaller the party it is, the more pressure there is for everybody who's there to play with everybody else. And I don't dig that vibe. Again, I will play with people that I know already that I'm comfortable with, but I'm not going to go to a party and just randomly do duck, duck, goose. I'm going to go down on this guy.
That's right. It's not keys. It's duck, duck, goose.
That's what's actually happening. So that vibe happens in a fair number of house parties. At larger parties, I think it's less so because there's just, you can get away with a small number of people, just one partner or whatever, and do your thing. But we decided if we can't find what we're looking for, we're going to make what we, the ultimate party that we want to have. So,
and we've had two so far.
Yeah.
And they're phenomenal. They've been amazing.
Yeah.
So, a lot of fun.
So the first party was probably 30 people and the second one was 50. So we went for a larger party. So we had like a little dinner party that we call the accidental orgy because there's only 8 people and we all ended up like,
oop. Luckily we liked everybody there and we knew everybody there and we were comfortable, but it was a small party. We thought small was the way to go. Let's do that. It turns into an orgy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you all move as one group. It's too small.
Nobody wants to get
away.
Nobody
moves off and goes and
no
does
one
their
ate
own
too
thing.
Much, obviously, because
not
you can't
a lot of
at
eating.
A dinner party. I would have been like,
nope.
You do need to be careful what you serve your guests at a sex party, for sure. Like maybe not a giant thing of cauliflower gratin or something that's going to make
hummus?
People.
No,
hummus,
none of that.
No hummus. little finger
no garlic
feet.
Shrimp.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, garlic. More garlic, please. Yes, that's perfect.
Not
let's
happen.
Let's get crazy with garlic.
Yeah, so we made sure that at the house party there was a lot of places that people could be where there was no play allowed. So the whole main level, there's no play. There were spaces throughout the house where couples could get away and just talk with each other. So the first party was heaven and hell, and we had little purgatory signs, and those were rooms where people could go and talk with their spouse and make sure they were on the same page. And then we had our designated play spaces. We had, I don't know, 3 or 4 play spaces.
Yeah, we had like the basement was hell. And we had a dance floor down there and a bar, and we had a couple of play spaces down there. And then the upstairs was heaven, and it was, lit up sort of with the light blues and the whites, and it was really pretty.
Galaxy lights. Oh, yes. I'm a huge fan of the galaxy lights, like if in a play space.
And a couple play spaces up top. But on the main level, we had some food and we had, cocktails, and there was music on all 3 levels, and everybody was in costume, so it was really fun.
Yeah. So it was not a lock-in party, but essentially at 10 o'clock, if you wanted to leave, that was fine, but you couldn't come back in because nobody was manning the door.
Mm. And there's no phones allowed. Privacy is a thing, I'm assuming. Right.
We had a couple of like picture spaces because everybody's all into social media
Joe
these
Biden
days.
In the corner. No, yeah.
So we had some picture backgrounds and people were in these awesome costumes. So at the beginning of the party, there really was no play. And there were mm-hmm. a couple of places where you could take pictures. And that was it. People put their phones away after that.
Well, and even this bigger group, it's small enough that we knew everybody. Nobody came to this party that we didn't know. So, you know, everybody's so respectful of each other. We're all in the same boat, right? We're none of us want a picture of us out there for our kids to see or our neighbors to see. So everybody's sort of respectful of that. You don't have to even say it, really.
I mean, yeah, I think we do. Although I'm a big fan
of
rules.
We do. I know. She loves rules. Yeah. We do say it. We do say it. But you don't have to.
Most people want to get invited back.
That's right.
And so they're going to be respectful. They're you know, grown-ups that are going to follow grown-up rules. But yeah, we had some rules written out. We did a tour of the house so people knew where they could play, where they couldn't play. We had signs on the doors. Maybe too many rules the first time
Anne's
around.
Is a fan of rules.
But I just
no,
think
it was good.
I wanted the party to be a space where women really felt empowered to go up to somebody and say, I would love to play with you if you're interested. And a lot that happened a lot more at our house parties than any other house party I've been to. Mm. Like women were very emboldened.
Okay, time for a quick break. This podcast was made possible by Uberlube. It's a luxurious silicone lubricant that enhances sex and intimacy. We receive emails from listeners who have tried Uberlube, and the feedback is unanimous. We never knew lube could be this good. It's also less likely to throw off the pH than most other lubes, and there are thousands of doctors recommending Uberlube to their patients, whether they want to make their hot sex even hotter or for folks experiencing dryness.
Uberlube is without a doubt my favorite lube. It has no flavor, no scent, and feels absolutely amazing on my body. And it isn't just for sex. I use it to tame my hair frizzies, to prevent chafing, and I even put some in my mouth before an oral sex session. Totally ups my blowjob game. Oh, and the bottle, it's beautiful. It looks like a cosmetic product, so I just leave it out on my nightstand totally shamelessly. To learn why we think it's the best lube on the planet, check out uberlube.com and use code shamelesssex for 10% off plus free shipping. Again, that's uberlube.com and use code shamelesssex for 10% off and free shipping.
This podcast is also free to you because of our amazing sponsors like Satisfyer. Have you ever used an old, outdated vibrator? Are you ready to try some of the newest pleasure products by one of my favorite brands, Satisfyer? My current go-to vibrator is Satisfyer's Love Triangle. Don't let the petite size fool you. It offers the perfect amount of air pulse stimulation with a real suctioning feel, all combined with powerful vibrations. And it doesn't numb me out so I can have orgasm after orgasm after orgasm. Mm-hmm.
Many Satisfyer products even include their cutting-edge Bluetooth-enabled technology, and they're super affordable. Distance can disconnect people, but not when you have a device equipped with Satisfyer's Connect app. You can actually control each other's pleasure in another room or another country. And right now, Satisfyer is offering our lucky listeners 30% off any Satisfyer when you go to satisfyer.com and enter code SHAMELESS30 at checkout. Again, if you're looking for one of our favorite new devices, go to SATISFYER.com and use code SHAMELESS30 for 30% off. Go check it out. You will be so satisfied. All right, back to the show.
So you all have sex with each other. You have sex with the other people. So there's a lot of couples playing with other couples, but then sometimes people go off here. And so it's a lot of shared experiences. Although you did say, I believe this was you, Ams, maybe saying that there's times when you're at home washing the dishes and you know that your partner's out with someone else. So coming to the threesome topic, because threesomes are real popular in these days. They probably have been for a long time, but our listeners love it. It's like it's a number one downloaded topic.
It's like our favorite thing.
Do you like threesomes more than foursomes, than orgies? How are you having threesomes with two penises and one your vulva, or is it two vulvas and a penis? And like, what's going on here?
Well, we've done all of that. Over the course of the time that we've played in lifestyle, we've experienced all of that. When we started the idea of a threesome, we actually started it between the four of us. None of us had experienced a threesome. Well, we had some, like, we all went to college, right? So we had some experiences way back in the day, but
nothing worth talking about.
Yeah. nothing to write home to. So we decided to do the round robin threesome. One of the four of us sat out one round and the other three got together. So that was our very first threesome experience in lifestyle.
Well, what was great about this is that we all knew each other. We had known each other for quite a while by that time. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of trust.
And we got to have a real conversation about what is it that we want? What do we want to experience? Oh, this is going to be so fun. And the third, or the fourth person came to dinner after.
That's true. Brought the food,
which was awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So we actually started with the MFM threesomes, which would be two penis owners
and
one vulva owner, which would be me. I started.
She got to go first.
Yes, woo-hoo! I volunteered as tribute.
That's right.
And it was phenomenal. It was unbelievable to have two men that I knew so well and trusted.
And that cared about you.
Absolutely. My biggest concern going into an MFM threesome was I was going to be fucking exhausted, like satisfying two men. How was I going to do this? What if
I
needed
a break?
That's what I
always say. I'm like, that sounds exhausting.
That's a lot of
yeah. Okay, good. Okay. Yes. I want to hear more. I'm just resonating with that.
Yes. So I am a total reformed pillow princess. And the nice thing about an MFM threesome is, if you need a break, you can just lay there and two men will make you feel good. Like mm-hmm. you don't have to do anything other than let your, you know, pleasure show on your face and in your body. And they, at least my experience, they loved it. They loved touching me and kissing me and just pleasuring yeah. me. And I did lots of things when I wanted to. You know, I had their dicks in my hands and, you know, we did all the different positions. But if I didn't want to do anything, that was fine. The guys just took over and satisfied me. So it was so good. I was like, Kat, you need to take a turn, like, right now.
Yeah. Well, what
you, like,
was
tap
awesome.
Out? Do you tap out? You're like, all right.
Passing the torch.
Yeah.
I got my turn a couple weeks later, yeah. and they had had so much practice with AMs that they were really on their game.
Yeah.
I mean, I had so much fun with both of them, and I never felt like I was the one expected to please both of them, like I was supposed to do all the work. They really felt like they were there to lavish me with attention and love and, mm-hmm. you know, oh, orgasms.
And there are
many orgasms.
There are what things about you can do.
Yeah. What about the FMF?
The FMF.
Three, yes.
Two vulvas, yeah. one penis.
Yes.
Enter a bar and...
someday, I guess we're going to have to do that.
Well, we did get stuck on the MFM dial for a while. Kind of went back and forth
us.
A few times yeah. before we gave the guys sort of their turn as the guest in the experience. It's great. I think the FMF threesome gets the most sort of attention, like Hollywood attention, because women are beautiful and two women are even more beautiful. It can be a really fun and feminine experience. I'm not super bisexual, like on a scale, like Kinsey scale, I'm pretty low on my bisexuality. It's very situational, bi-curious. I probably had four or five FMF threesomes with Kat and with a couple other friends. It can be a little bit, sometimes you feel a little bit like you're on the sidelines and you let the guy experience, you know, if it's with the unicorn, for example, the unicorn, the mystical, magical unicorn, you kind of want to let them have their space. And if you're not super bisexual, there's not so much for you to do. So I was like getting water and towels and it was like the water boy. But it's still fun. And the look on your guy's face when he's being pleasured by two women is
awesome.
It's priceless. It's like giving them the best birthday present, Christmas present, Hanukkah present, all combined.
Yeah, they are never going to leave us. Like you asked about jealousy and worried about they're going to find someone else. No, they're not.
Carol,
no.
Like you were just in a hand-me-down towels to get my dick sucked.
Best wife ever.
Yeah. So if there's people out there listening that want this, they want to experience threesomes. Obviously, there's sites. We love Field is one of them. This isn't even an ad for that. But where can folks look, and how would they go about being able to initiate or do this? Do they ask their friends? They look for pineapples. Amy, if you go to pineapple,
I don't have pineapple. Where do you find the unicorn, the yoni corn?
No one knows.
Ooh,
April,
are you my yoni corn?
There you go. I mean, Field is a great app for threesomes. It's sort of like a gateway app because there's a lot of people there who don't identify as lifestyle people, but they want to have, there's a lot of vanilla people out there who want to have threesome experiences. So you don't really need to go into the lifestyle community to experience that if you don't want to. Get drunk with your friends.
We don't recommend that.
Yeah, no, that's not our
talk. Well, talk about it first and then just start drinking.
Yeah, there you go.
That's right.
Yeah. There are single women on lifestyle dating sites. There are not that many. There are single men on lifestyle dating sites.
There are a ton.
There are so many. There are so many that it's basically impossible to cull through all of the different profiles. Like we did an episode on hotwifing recently. So I created a single woman profile, and I shit you not, within 3 days, I had 800 messages. And then I would get onto the app and start responding to the messages because I wanted to be a good Samaritan and respond to everybody. But then it shows that you're online. And so I'm like sending nice little messages, and in the background, ding,
oh my
ding.
God.
So I couldn't keep up with
you. Don't take time. Just cut and paste. Don't even fucking care about that. You're like, maybe no.
Oh my God. There's that many. That's crazy. That's awesome.
I love hearing these stories about this shit, man. This is so good.
So you're saying the penis owner's like, I'll be your unicorn. The vulva owners are a little more harder to find in terms of the unicorn space.
Yeah. Although we found plenty of women who enjoy having it. Like, take the profiles away. I have not found the lifestyle dating sites to be great for meeting people with threesomes, with the exception of Field. But if you know people who are just sexually open, almost anybody, I feel like, would be willing to have a threesome at some point if they're attracted to you. It's just a very easy sort of gateway drug to the lifestyle.
It seems like
it.
I've been approached, and I didn't even know I was getting approached for a threesome. Right.
You've been approached
like,
so many times,
and I'm like, oh my God, they're so great. They love me, it's this like, couple. Oh, no, and then Amy's like, they're trying to fuck you. I was like, oh.
That's right.
Are you
that's
sure?
Right. They're buying you all of your drinks and like asking, like, that necklace is so pretty.
You take it as a big old compliment, though. It's not, you know, and I think even to a partnership, you're in a solid partnership, and someone feels threatened that, or even not a threesome, just someone's just attracted to your husband or your wife or your girlfriend or whatever. It's a fucking compliment. Yeah, my partner's banging. Thank you. And you don't get to sleep with them. Or maybe you do. How about hello, unicorn? You know, but I mean, it's a wonderful thing. You're special, Chip. You're beautiful. You're sexy.
People think you're a
great unicorn, even though I don't know if you've ever been one, but you would make a great.
There was that one time in Scottsdale.
Oh, that one time in Scottsdale. No, but okay, that's its own story where she almost
got
abducted.
We're not telling that story. So. We told it already.
Oh my gosh. So, okay. So you're talking about various ways to meet people, and we do get this sex question a lot from people. They're like, okay, we're a couple, we want to open up, we want to find the third, or we want to find other couples. And so you're saying a lot of the dating app sites haven't been the best. Is your advice's Field has worked out for you? And then also if you just open people that you know to go engage with them. So what about these things? Because I've also had this question from people. How do I find sex parties, you know, sexy house parties? You mentioned the Desire Swinger Resort. So do you have any other recommendations for people who want to follow up? And also for people who, one, you know, have money, can go to these things, but also people who don't, you know, like how do they go and find these kind of sexy parties and things?
Well, I would say the apps, while we don't think they're fantastic for threesomes, they're great for meeting other couples.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're also a big place where a lot of sort of commercial parties are advertised.
Sure.
Yeah, like there are big parties that they put on, especially at Halloween.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. So,
they put these big parties on, and those are a lot of fun, and you can meet people by going to some of those kinds of things. And you know, we meet people all the time, some that we've played with and some that we haven't, but when we meet people that we like, we just sort of pull them in.
Yeah.
And we sort of have created a community on our own of, you know, like the 50 people that came to the party. We've sort of just one by one, we meet a couple that we like and they meet a couple that they like and we've sort of introduced them. They would be good for our group. So I think it can be a slow build to a bigger kind of community that people could do that.
Yeah. To build on what Kat's saying, the dating sites are fantastic for meeting other couples. One of the only ways that you can meet other couples, because if you start hitting on a couple at a bar, the hit rate is going to be incredibly low.
So you might get in a lot of trouble.
Right. So unless you're going to someplace like Desire or Hedo or Temptation, you're not going to meet people who are necessarily going to be receptive to a couple hitting on another couple. So you almost have to go to the profile sites like Double Date Nation, Cassidy, Alt Playground, SLS. I don't know. Those are the ones I can think of. SDC is big. And they do advertise meet and greets, which might be just small get-togethers. Nobody's making any money off of it. It's just a group of people who like to host meet and greets at a hotel bar or a brewery or something like that, to people who are hosting big commercial events for lifestyle people, like New Year's Eve parties, Halloween parties. Theme parties are huge in the lifestyle
community. We love to
community.
Dress up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just another way to play.
Where do you put your condoms and things when you're naked? Do you nature's pocket?
Prison purse? No. Sorry.
That was AMS, by the way.
No, wait. So we have the swinger bag. We bring a bag with us. The kids kind
like
of wonder why.
Bag?
Like a repurposed diaper bag, like a huge bag. No, we've got different sizes. So if you just have your condoms, your lube, maybe a small toy with you, Advil, something in case you get a headache. We have just like a little bug out bag. But we also have an enormous bag. If we're going to a party, we might bring, a lot of them are BYOB, so we might be bringing our drinks with us, change of clothes, flip-flops, you know, a robe, something to change into if you don't want to put your corset back on or whatever's going on. You bring it with you to
the
party.
Most of the time, if it's a big party, we get a hotel.
Yeah.
Everybody's staying in a hotel or the hotel.
Where shit goes down in the suite or something.
Yeah. Maybe if we can
it's
get
the after
suites.
Party.
Oh. Yeah.
So people are concerned. Safety is a thing, right? People are concerned with safety, and there's practices in place that are there. 'Cause that's always been my question. If you have, do you bring your like STD papers?
I just got tested last week. Everything is clear except for one thing. Are you down to deal with it? Cool. Let's do this.
Yeah. So that is a conversation though that you have.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. It's and I'm sure your listeners know, because I listen to you all the time. Like, it's not safe sex. It's safer sex, right? Mm-hmm. Every encounter has some risks associated with it. But in our experience, the lifestyle community is very diligent about condom usage. That's never been an issue with any of our partners. We personally get tested every 6 months. My husband and I alternate between, so I get tested twice a year, he gets tested twice a year. So we always have pretty, accurate results within 3 months. I wouldn't say that people have the conversation about STIs before they play as a normal practice, although it's a good idea. But certainly if anybody asks the question, we just show them test results.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like that answer. Yeah. And I like that that feels good, that it's people are practicing safety.
Yeah.
You've gone to parties before.
It seems to me a lot of the time, the people that are more in the open world are, or even like when we've had various folks who are sex workers on our show, they're almost more careful than non-sex workers are about STIs, STDs, safety, et cetera. And maybe not almost. Most of them are. And I think same with the open sex world. People are like, oh my God, having this open sex, there must be all these STIs running around. And in fact, you see people that are probably more responsible because they're more educated about it. They're more into having open conversations about it. So it's probably maybe a safer bet than just picking up someone at the bar and not having that conversation there too. So yeah, it's a lot of people listening here, they're like, this is a dream world. And, you know, this might be a triggering conversation for some people because some people are in partnerships with someone that wants this and they don't. So if that's you, take a deep breath. And, you know, we all have our different interests and desires.
Well, also, I like what you both had mentioned that you don't have to play.
You don't.
You could go to one of these parties and experience it if your partner is really wanting this.
You play with each
and
other.
And you don't know if you want it. You could go and play. I think that if you can, if you can get out of your own head maybe about the jealousy or the different pieces that may be hanging you up on checking this out, just going and choosing not to have sex with anyone. You don't have to do anything. It's all consent.
And
baby
steps into a lot of these things if you're new. I just went to a impromptu sexy party where we had no idea what would happen. It was only 12 people and it was couples, but then it was mostly couples. And we had no idea what would happen there. And so we went around setting boundaries and things in the beginning and like, who we are, et cetera. I was like, I'm Amy. I identify as kinky, exhibitionist, voyeur. And I'm also an introvert with extroverted tendencies. And you might see me here just in the corner by myself and not wanting to touch anyone. And you might
see me. Or I'll be naked.
Or I'll be running around naked, that happened very quickly. I was running around naked. But it doesn't mean that I'm open to hugs. If you want to touch me in any ways beyond that, you have to ask me first. And I may not want to engage in any sexual activity because my mood changes from moment to moment. And that's totally okay. There's plenty of people in there just touching their partner and they still get to be vibing in the energy. And there's plenty of people that were engaging and touching other people. And so there's so many ways to do it. And I love just hearing about the varieties of sexuality, of marriage, of married with children, which is, that's not a judgment. It's most just like, fuck yeah, you guys are awesome. So we could talk to you forever about this, but
I know we could. I'm like, I don't want it to end.
Well, but they have a whole podcast
about it.
I know,
that's why you're doing this podcast.
So our listeners, how can our listeners go and listen to you and, you know, learn more from you, work from you? Tell us about your socials, your podcast, et cetera. How can they find you?
Yeah, so we are the Two Hot Wives, number two, all one word. You can find our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere where you download a podcast. Our website is the same, Two Hot Wives, and our social media handles are all the number two Hot Wives.
You're the number two Hot Wives in my
book. Thank you, number two. this was fun. Yes, I learned a lot, and I feel like you eased some of my aches and pains of the lifestyle that when you don't know and you haven't experienced anything like that, all you do is kind of make up stories, right? And I like hearing actual stories, healthy encounters. This can all actually improve a relationship. I love this. So thank you so much. And to all of our listeners, go check out Ams and Kat on their podcast because it's really fun and they know their shit. So that's cool. And swingers or not, whichever way you're rolling, MFM, FMF,
ABCD,
exactly. Can probably learn some things from these two humans. And thank you. And I can't close an episode of Shameless Sex without giving you a prompt to give us 5 stars on iTunes. That's it. That's actually a command.
You must do it.
You
now.
Must do it.
Or I will spank you consensually.
This is a free resource. So people out there, whether they're in the lifestyle community, they want to have a threesome, or they just are interested in expanding their sexuality, they can find podcasts like Two Hot Wives, like Shameless Sex. So the more reviews we get, the more folks out there can improve their sexuality and open up their brains and beyond. So go ahead and do that. I challenge you right now. Right now. Anyway, that's the only challenge. And I can't leave this episode without saying I love you, Amy. And
I love you too.
I love wine. Margins Wine is my favorite. Go to marginswine.com and check out why Amy and I have been huge fans for the last, I think it's been 3 years. I have no concept of time anymore because of all sorts of reasons, but we love it. And
it's not because of the wine.
It's not because of the wine. I just improved my brain. But you can go to marginswine.com because there's only 3 to 4 max releases a year. And you would just get a newsletter to let you know when those are released. So you can buy, and if you want to buy 3 or more bottles, you save 10% by Shameless Sex. 10 is the code. I'm getting so good at this, though. I'm like so fast. I'm actually quitting Shameless Sex. I'm going to become an auctioneer. You all ready? And Shameless Sex 15. If you buy 6 or more bottles, we'll save you 15%. All right. Are you ready to say adios?
Sí, adios. Bienvenidos.
Ciao for now. See you next Tuesday.
Want to learn more? Go to shamelesssex.com.
And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use code SHAMELESSSEX at purepleasureshop.com.